Hey everybody, how's it going? I am your host Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Petaluma, California, here in Studio MC3 at QuickSurf Internet Studios. Linux Newslog is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there as well. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online over at quicksurf.com. Please do subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. And for those of you who have subscribed and shown your support for the show, thank you so much for subscribing. And with that, let's go ahead and get into the stories for this episode. Starting off over at ZDNet, CoreOS, Linux for the Cloud, and the Data Center. This is a story by Stephen J. Von Nichols. He writes, if you manage a cloud or data center, chances are you run CentOS, Red Hat Enterprise Linux, SUSE Enterprise Linux server, or Ubuntu. These are all great server Linux distributions, but none of them were designed to be deployed over hundreds or thousands of servers at once. Now, there is such a distribution, CoreOS. In development for over 2 years, CoreOS has been designed from the ground up to power data centers and clouds. Curiously enough, however, CoreOS is not based on one of the traditional server Linux families, such as Debian or Red Hat. Instead, it's based on Google's desktop Chrome OS. Why? Well, it's designed to be lightweight. Its developers claim that at a mere 114 megabytes of RAM, CoreOS takes up 40% less memory on boot than the average Linux server. Pretty interesting. So anyway, the article continues on. I thought it was a really interesting read. I thought I would share it with my audience, and hopefully you guys will find it to be an interesting read as well. Over at EE Times, Samsung explains OS shift for smartwatches. Less than 6 months after announcing it would drop Android for a homegrown operating system, Samsung is getting back in the sack with the open source OS. At Google's developer conference last week, officials announced that the Samsung Gear Live would be one of the three smartwatches debuting Android Wear, but little attention was paid to the transition. Interesting. We have found that consumers do not have a preference in terms of the OS that their wearable device supports, but the end user experience is more important to the consumer than the OS, says Samsung. We focus on comprehensive product offerings that fit a variety of consumer needs with different feature sets, creating the optimal wearable experience. Users can choose based on the experience they are looking for. So, one of the things that's interesting about this is Android Wear is they're switching from Tizen OS to Android. So, whereas previously they were like, we're Tizen for our wearable devices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now it appears that they've changed course and the reasoning behind it. I thought it was an interesting read. From internationalbusinesstimes.com, Samsung is planning a Galaxy S5 with its own Tizen operating system. Again, Tizen is an open source operating system. I'm finding Samsung to be really wishy-washy. They have gotten on and off the Tizen bandwagon multiple times now. The story here starts off, several variants of the Samsung Galaxy S5 are now available since the April release of the original, including the rugged Galaxy S5 Active, the Galaxy S5 Sport, the truncated Galaxy S5 Mini, and even the super-powered Galaxy S5 LTE. But Samsung may also be developing a new variant of the Galaxy S5 running its own Tizen operating system. Again, this is one of those weird things where I'm just confused. Samsung, please, either you're Tizen or you're not. You're Android or you're not. I'm confused. Someone, please explain this to me. So anyway, check the story out. Again, Samsung has been really wishy-washy on this, and frankly, I rather wish they would just get it done with. From EE Times in India, a Linux-based platform is aimed at the connected car. Automotive-grade Linux, otherwise known as AGL, is a collaborative open-source project developing a common Linux-based software stack for the connected car. It has released its first open-source software to bring the industry closer to achieving a standard Linux-based software platform for the connected car. So AGL is building the industry's only fully open automotive platform, allowing automakers to leverage a growing software stack based on Linux while retaining the ability to create their own branded user interface, a la skins that you see on Android. I see it being totally fragmented, and once it comes out for a vehicle, never gets updated. I don't even want to talk about it. It's a great idea, but the reality often doesn't live up to expectations. You have to update your software after it's released. Users expect upgrades over time. And if Android is any indication of that, manufacturers that go in and get their own version, and I'm using air quotes here for those of you who aren't watching videos of Android, their own branded thing, they generally do not update regularly. From the Financial News website over in the UK, Red Hat offers a cloud management certification for Linux's OpenStack platform. Red Hat has announced a new cloud management certification for Red Hat Enterprise Linux OpenStack platform as part of the Red Hat OpenStack Cloud Infrastructure Partner Network. God, what a mouthful. The world's largest commercial ecosystem for OpenStack. Red Hat will enable cloud management solutions from partners to interoperate with and manage Red Hat Enterprise Linux OpenStack platform. The certification offers customers confidence that their OpenStack-based clouds and management solutions have been fully tested together and are supported jointly by Red Hat and the participating companies. So, pretty interesting. If you are a Red Hat cloud, OpenStack, whatever the heck it is, user, this may be interesting to you. The next story that we have here is from Geeky Gadgets. The Raspberry Pi Mini Games Arcade Cabinet Kit is available for $50. This is pretty awesome. Makers and developers that enjoy playing retro games and have a Raspberry Pi or any other mini PC ready to be included in a project might enjoy building their very own Raspberry Pi powered games arcade cabinet in the form of the PortaPi Arcade. Pretty cool. The PortaPi Arcade is available as a kit. It measures just under 13 inches high, 9 inches wide, and 10 inches deep in size, and is available in either wood or acrylic, with prices starting from as little as $50 for the wooden pieces and build instructions. This looks really awesome. I might actually check this out. So, pretty cool. For those of you who have Raspberry Pi computers and are looking to do something cool and geeky and interesting with them, that's definitely a project to look into for sure. From lilyputing.com, the KDE team pulls the plug on the Vivaldi tablet improv board projects. Two attempts to bring the ethos of free software to hardware have met an end. The group of folks behind the KDE desktop environment have been trying for a few years to deliver a tablet that wouldn't rely on proprietary software. More recently, they unveiled the Improv board. It's a small, cheap computer module designed to ship with Mir Linux. But they've had problems actually bringing the devices to market, and now Phoronix reports that the KDE team is officially ending the projects and starting the process of issuing refunds to folks who have pre-ordered units. So that really sucks. I've actually been kind of following that for a while, and it's sad to see that they've just not been able to make it come to fruition. Anyway, that will do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes, which you can find online over at quicksurf.com. Please do subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. And with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. I'll see you then.